see more clearly the nature of God, the nature of man, and God's plan from the beginning to the end of time and into eternity. We have read from creation through the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to Joseph and ultimately slavery in Egypt. Then God setting his people free from Egypt, the journey to the promised land, and the establishment of the kingdoms. All the time, God is faithful, and his love never changes, though his people go astray, turning to rebellion and worship of idols. But God keeps speaking to them in various ways, and today we're considering God's message through the prophets. There are many prophets in the Old and New Testament whose message of encouragement and challenge were written down for our learning, as Paul explains. He says, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things. Some lives and messages are collected together in the Bible, and there are four major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and 12 minor prophets. There were also prophets in the other writings, among them Elijah and Elisha, and also Nathan the prophet, whose story challenged King David and brought him to repentance, a story we were considering a few weeks ago. But what kind of person is a prophet? He or she is someone who is set on hearing from God in their situation, for themselves, and for those around them, even if this means deprivation, imprisonment, or exclusion. A prophet is someone in touch with reality, both in the physical and in the spiritual world. A prophet might dwell in desert places like Elijah or John the Baptist, whose birth the church keeps today, or have a courtier's life, close to the king and at the heart of politics, like the three prophets portrayed in the fine clothes in the stained glass at Dedham Church, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. We can call David Attenborough a modern-day prophet, if you think about it. He has seen with his own eyes the reality of what plastic is doing to our oceans and their inhabitants, and ultimately to us. He's calling us to repent and change our ways. Thinking of our efforts to act gives us some indication of how difficult it was for the people of Israel to repent and change without God's dramatic intervention through painful events like the exile into Babylon, an account we have also read. Prophecy today is a gift of God to his church and is used by the Holy Spirit to build up the community of believers, as described by St. Paul in his letters. Also, listen to these words about the Old Testament prophets from St. Peter. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you would do well to pay particular attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it's saying that the writings of the prophets we are looking at this week are completely reliable, a light shining in a dark place, and words to treasure in our hearts, because they come through human channels from the Holy Spirit. I think we are most familiar with the prophecies concerning the birth of Christ, because they name the place, his rule, his character, and his coming as a child, and are read during Advent and Christmas. On Palm Sunday, we looked at the foretelling of the ride on a donkey into Jerusalem, and we read the scriptures, and we noticed there were other prophecies concerning Jesus. One Bible scholar has pointed out that over 80% of the prophecies have been fulfilled. Some are being fulfilled now, and there is no reason to doubt the remainder will be filled in God's way and in God's time. I hope I've made the case for serious study of the prophets in the Bible readings selected this week in our Essential 100 leaflet, as we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what we need to know. Now let's look at the five prophets chosen: Jeremiah, Jonah, Isaiah, Daniel, and Malachi. Let's begin with Jonah, a prophet who went in the opposite direction when told by God to go with God's message to Nineveh. He, in his disobedience, encountered the creator of the universe in the sea, the fish, the wind, the plant, and the worm, all God's humble creation, who brought him back to his senses, and he obeyed. When his message was accepted, he grumbled against God for being compassionate to foreigners. His attitude reflects God's dealing with us sometimes when we go astray and then blame God for our misery, finding restoration in the beauty of nature, a flower, a creature, a sunset, a view. Jeremiah, on the other hand, was 100% committed to giving the message he received from God and endured much suffering as a result, including imprisonment. At one time, his written prophecies were burnt by the king. He was considered a traitor because he gave the message of surrender to the Babylonians as God's will. He also gave the message that after 70 years, Israel would return to the land. Our readings this week are based on his initial call when he was young and his humble response: I do not know how to speak. I am too young. And God's reply: do not be afraid. I am with you, and I will rescue you. Words to give us encouragement when we feel inadequate to responding to God's call. Daniel actually read the words of Jeremiah when he was at the Babylonian court, and prayed that the promise that Israel would return in 70 years would be fulfilled. He took the prophetic words seriously, as Peter and Paul encourage us to do. The story we are given to read this week is about Daniel in the lion's den, a familiar one from childhood, perhaps. I have noticed since that those who envied him and wanted to trap him knew the only issue where they would succeed was his faith in God and his commitment to pray three times a day towards Jerusalem. He was vindicated, and after a night shut in a cave with a stone over the opening, he emerged from the lion's den unscathed. A little hint there of the resurrection of Christ, and also a calling to pray for our persecuted brethren, as well as guidance to put our faith in God when it is tough being a Christian. He will raise us up with Christ. It is in Isaiah, however, that we get the fullest picture of God's plan for the world. Words like salvation, all nations, a return to Zion, and redemption dot the pages of our Bible when we read chapters 51 to 53. These chapters contain the most vivid prophetic exposition of the suffering and glory of Jesus Christ. Only in him are these words fulfilled. It is a section to be read with humility and awe, and a great source of encouragement and blessing to deepen our relationship with Christ, our Saviour. Our final prophet is Malachi, and his prophecy comes in the final chapters of the Old Testament. The challenges and warnings in the first three chapters are a good way to examine our conscience as we read and ask ourselves, is there a change of direction God requires of us? The third chapter ends with a blessing for those who fear the Lord and a wonderful promise of a day when evil will be dealt with and healing and deliverance will come. A lovely verse is, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. What a promise, what a picture. After Malachi, there were 400 years of silence and no prophets. A sense of expectation grew towards the end of the period. For there was another promise at the very end of Malachi. See, I will send a prophet like Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So it was that 400 years later, John the Baptist was first seen in the deserts of Judea and spoke out his message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Matthew, commenting on his appearance, says, this is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. The Lord, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is on his way. He may look like an ordinary man, but he, as Son of Man, is about to enter history and provide the way to access God and walk with God in newness of life. God is about to reveal the full extent of his plan for sinful mankind, not a patching up of the old self-centered life, but a completely new eternal life received through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Next week we begin our journey through the New Testament and see more prophecies fulfilled. Let's thank God for his faithfulness and his new creation, of which we, who believe, are a part.